simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
It's Christmas Eve. It's a one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
The choir of children sing their song.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Chicharone, coming to you from the wonkyweeds.com studios, and normally I'd be joined by my co-host Nate Gorzinski, but unfortunately for the listening audience, he has decided instead to attend a birthday party bringing frankincense and burr.
And I'll have a beer. Go fuck yourself.
It is the holiday season. I am in the holiday mood, so I am very eager to talk to all you guys about that today. Hopefully you guys feel the same way. I mean, there's different degrees, different levels of how much holiday cheer one can have. You know, you could be pouring eggnog in your socks, putting some funny looking inflatables on your front porch. I don't know. I mean, there's all different kinds of stuff you can do. Maybe just wrapping up Tupperware around your house because, you know, it's just, hey, the vibes, they're so darn strong. I don't know. I can tell you what, they're alive and well in this guy. Yes, indeed, David Chicharone. Now, if you've ever listened to any of our previous episodes, you know I'm crazy about Christmas shopping. I do it super early. I am the early bird special old person going to dinner at, you know, 4 p.m. just to get that discount. You know, that's me buying stuff in like October. Heck, you know what? I was even picking up some stuff in the spring and just saving it, sticking it in my little gift closet. Yes, I have a gift closet. Not here at the wonkyweeds.com studios, but in my humble abode. Try to keep the kid, my kid, I was about to say kids, but that's like, I don't want to foreshadow and be like, oh, is your wife pregnant? No, the kid out of there. So yeah, that's me. Look at me all full of, vigor and vim and, holiday gin. Woohoo! Here we go. So today's episode, I am going to talk about some holiday stuff. Of course, I mean, this feels like a Christmas special without it being a Christmas special. Maybe I should be like animated, a little claymation person in front of this microphone. But no, I'm flesh and blood, baby. And I'm going to be coming to you with something I don't believe that we've ever shot the breeze about before. And that is my top 5 Christmas movies. Yes, yes, indeed. So will they differ from yours? Most likely. But that's great. Opens everything up for debate. Just like opening presents underneath the Christmas tree. You never know what's inside, so I'll be very eager to hear what you guys have to say about it. And just to get this out there now, should your opinion differ than mine and you want to yell at me or just make a comment, feel free to shoot us an email, sellingoutshow@gmail.com, or hit up all the socials at sellingoutshow, because that's what people do. Now, I do want to get off the holiday thing real quick here, because I did install a TV here in the wonkyweeds.com studios, so I'm a little distracted. What could be on that TV, Dave? What could it be that's got you all not paying attention to talking to me? Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm looking at season 1 of Murder, She Wrote. Yes, I know. It's weird. Very weird. What is a man in his 40s doing watching Murder, She Wrote when there's all different forms of entertainment, especially movies and television that you could be watching instead? And you all know I love it. I love watching TV. I'm a bum. I'm just a smelly loser that will be a couch potato for the rest of his life. I don't know, to be honest with you. Maybe it's the nostalgia factor, going back to a simpler time where it's like you can't just pick up a cell phone and Google something. And now Jessica or J.B. Fletcher of Murder, She Wrote is an elderly woman. So maybe there's some kind of connection to, like, I don't know, my grandmother or something. Like, I have no idea. I'm grasping at straws here, but I watch it incessantly. It's on all the time at my house. My kid thinks it's weird. He's like, Dad, for real? I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. I just want to watch Murder, She Wrote all the time. And the other great thing about it is I can have it on in the background. I don't need to pay necessarily a whole lot of attention to it because, you know, by the end of the episode, the person's going to admit their guilt without ever, you know, consulting with a lawyer or what have you. Just, hey, old lady, chief of police. Yes, I did it. And this is how I did it. It's very super villain-esque. And as a matter of fact, for Christmas, what I wanted and what I purchased for myself, albeit is technically from my wife, was the complete series of Magnum P.I. Oh, yeah. Now, Magnum P.I. has a lot of the components and the reasons why I watch Murder, She Wrote, right? And interesting little tidbit for you guys, there was, in fact, a crossover between both shows. But this is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm having the big issue. So maybe you guys can help me with this. The bulk of the episodes came out in the 80s, right? And I find myself watching Magnum P.I. And if you don't know the premise of it, he's a private investigator. He's knocking out bad guys. He's hooking up with hot chicks. You know, he always saves the day, drives a Ferrari, hijinks ensue. It takes place in Hawaii. They made a remake, never seen it, probably a piece of crap. But I'm watching it, I'm looking at all these babes that he's hooking up with, and I'm like, oh, hachi machi, what's going on here? This looks pretty good. And I stop myself for a second. I go, Jesus, they're probably really old now or they're dead. Yeah. And that kind of makes me feel a little awkward, a little weird, a little uncomfortable. Not like going through puberty for the first time weird, but like, man, you know, stop and think, guy. You're pining over a grandma. Calm down. Do you guys ever do that? Is that weird? I mean, you know, there is such thing as timeless beauty, right? Someone might see a famous actress from back in the day and go, yes, she's gorgeous. And oh my God, if she only existed in this era. But you're probably thinking that for like, I don't know, whatever reasons that are probably more pure and innocent than mine are, that you want to like mount it. Do you know what I mean? Or her, I shouldn't call it an object, but yeah. And if you don't believe me, just Google Kiki Magnum P.I. Seriously, don't look at my Google searches, please. Don't. That would be a bad thing and very embarrassing, much like puberty. But yeah, but it's a great Christmas present, even though, of course, my wife has no idea. I'm sitting here with confusing feelings, conflicting feelings inside my brain, my heart, my soul over the girls that really dig a mustachioed man. So yeah, Magna P.I. though, great show. I love it. Simple stuff. Murder, She Wrote, simple stuff. Easy stuff. Doesn't take too much to think about. It's not like Lost. You're not pondering what the finale is going to be like and if it's going to meet your expectations. Even though the only one episode of Murder, She Wrote, I think was just god-awful, was I believe it was season 4. A horse solved the crime. So yeah. So unless you're an equestrian, probably not up your alley. I don't know, just suspicion here. Anyway, I feel like I'm rambling on that. Am I rambling? You know, I don't do scripted. Scripted's for losers. I may be a couch potato, but I don't do scripts. Anyway, Christmas, yeah. Christmas memories. I always had big family Christmases when I was a kid. My family is now primarily fractured. Do you want me to explain that? Well, we did have like a patriarch of the family, and when she passed away a couple decades ago, the big holiday gathering stopped happening, and people started celebrating primarily it with their little individual friends and family and pockets of people that they spent their time with. Now, when you have a grandmother or nana like I did, where, you know, every holiday was like this big communal thing, it's great, you know? It's very postcard-esque. It's like a, you know, Norman Rockwell painting or something. It's Americana. But now I don't have that. I really only have my immediate, just like I said, the fractured members of my family. I don't know how many people they spend the holidays with, but it's my wife and my kid, my mother-in-law. That's pretty much it. And sometimes I feel guilty about that because my kid doesn't ever have that experience that I had. Now, there are times he has, in fact, in the past, spent time with my wife's family, which is, oh, baby, it's too much for me. Just too much. That's the big old Mexican family going on there. Just a whole lot of stuff happening. A whole lot of people, a whole lot of posadas going on. But even then, I just kind of feel like I'm denying him a little bit of some of the joys that I experienced in youth. You know, I feel like I just said youth weird, like grizzly, like youth. Probably did, because I am vaping in here and drinking my coffee, because that's what I do. I think this is probably the most apt time to bring up to our partners, since I am talking about vaping, Northland Vapor, Wonky Weeds, whose studio I'm sitting in right now, alpinehemp.com, realdbg.com, awesome manufacturers of different kinds of products, including CBD, your Deltas, like your Delta 8s and what have you. They got every product under the sun. Yet again, if you've ever listened to the show before, I tout them every time out because they're fantastic. And I got to mention, if you're like searching for a stocking stuffer right now, last minute, perfect time to check them out, because you can save on your entire order by using code SELLINGOUT23, and that's 23% off. So not only will you be providing the people that you love with some really cool products, you'll also be keeping some of that cold, hard cash in your pocket, which is even better, because I might not have mentioned this earlier, but I am cheap. I'm very cheap. So definitely check them out. Those are all, like I said, websites, but you can also check those websites out and see their brick and mortar locations, because some people like to go in and touch things, feel things, cough on things, be nasty. And then we also have Spunk Lube, spunklube.com. It's a lube used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? This Christmas, get down by the fire, get your nutcracker out, and use some Spunk Lube. And yet again, spunklube.com. It's awesome stuff. So there we go. I have plugged. I'm a plugger. I've done it. You guys want to move on to maybe like holiday movies and stuff? Because I know this might be a lightning rod of controversy. So I guess without further ado... Oh, you know what? I didn't give you guys any kind of like rules that I had when I made this list. Which there are none, except for one. It can't be animated. So if you go, oh, well, you're not picking Charlie Brown or you know, any of the Rankin Bass specials, what's the matter with you? That's the reason. These are films. These are movies, okay? Real people doing semi-real things. They're really acting. Okay, let's start that all over again since I screwed that up, because I am a professional. This is what I do for a living. Okay, newer movie. I love it. I can understand some people will argue it is a knockoff of another holiday film, but I can't deny that. It kind of is, but it's pretty awesome. And it's a little flick called 8-Bit Christmas.
Every kid has that one gift they want more than anything for Christmas. This is the story of mine. Nintendo.
Yeah, so instead of a Red Ryder BB gun, this young boy is on his quest to get his own Nintendo, despite the fact his family is against it. Now, I'm not going to give a lot of spoilers about these movies here, but this has become an instant classic in my home. I just watched it again last night, probably for the 200th time. There's even some moments during the year it might come on, say, mid-July. Just because it's that good of a movie in my eyes that I decided to watch it. And sometimes with my kid, and he likes it too, because you know what? I feel like I am beating the dead horse with the word nostalgia. And I probably am. I am sorry, horse. I'm terribly sorry there, Black Beauty, Mr. Ed, and all the other famous horses that I'm beating to death. But the nostalgia meter is off the charts with this one, especially with people from my generation. And when my kid, who's 11, he wants to know, like, seriously, Dad, was the 80s like that? Was Nintendo that popular? Was this like that? And, you know, it's kind of a interesting thing when you start talking and waxing nostalgic and poetic, waxing everywhere about the past and your own childhood with your child. And this movie is great at doing that. There's some, how should I put it? I don't want to call it like Easter eggs or anything, but there's some deep cuts in there too, to some of the cultural zeitgeist of the late 80s that is definitely well worth your time. So if you haven't checked out 8-Bit Christmas, definitely do so. I know it's on HBO Max, even though I own the DVD. Nope, not the Blu-ray. I've got the DVD, baby. Yet again, I'm cheap, but I own it. So yeah, I love it. And I bet you a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and they're going to say, yeah, Dave, that's a Christmas story. It's just a remake of a Christmas story, to which I was mentioning earlier, I can't necessarily argue. A lot of the themes are exactly the same. Maybe it's because Christmas Story you saw 8 billion times on TBS on repeat growing up, but I really don't have much love for that film. And I think 8-Bit Christmas does what they were trying to do a whole hell of a lot better. So hey, that's my two cents. Yet again, if you don't like it, feel free to email me, but we still got more of a list to go through. We still got four more entries. So number two, I think a lot of people are going to be on my bandwagon with, and to be honest with you, a lot of people are going to say, Dave, this should have been number one. For a long time, it was number one on my list for decades until 8-Bit Christmas came around. Now, I do have a couple issues with this film, which I will explain in a moment, but it is a little ditty known as Christmas Vacation.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, the exploits of Clark Griswold. I mean, what else is there to say about this movie? Everybody loves the Dickens out of it, pun intended. It is basically a family favorite, even though it does have some adult themes. What I don't like about it is, well, it only cropped up when I became a parent. And that was the couple references to No Santa Claus, which you got to be very guarded about when you're a parent, man, especially if you enjoy the gig. Like me, you enjoy being Santa Claus. You don't want it being spoiled by a friggin' movie. It's bad enough the kids go to school and their friends and their lousy, crappy parents told them, hey, you know, no Santa. So then they come home, hey, Billy said there's no Santa. His dad's Santa. And you go, you fucking Billy. There isn't a cliff high enough for me to push that little snot rag off of for ruining Christmas for my family. But the two scenes, Clark fantasizing about the pool and the little girl there starts talking about there being no Santa Claus. And the other is when Cousin Eddie and he are in Walmart talking about having no money for a Christmas gift. But really, it's highly quotable. It's an all-round classic. It's a freaking awesome movie. I mean, it's just great. So, yeah. I know. It should have been number one. I get you. It's a comedy. It's funny. It's great. Everybody loves Christmas Vacation, don't you? You know what? I'd be interested to know if you don't like it more than if you do like it, because that makes you in the serious minority here, you know? It's one thing about me not having it as number one, but then just not to like it at all. That's kind of like, I don't know, saying you don't like oxygen, which would be very bizarre. But alas, we're about to move on to number three. And number three is a little unique, but is definitely, I think, on many people's lists. So let's get right to it. Those are the sounds of none other than Gremlins. Yes, Gremlins. A wonderful tale of Christmas time ruined by a wet mogwai who spewed out little demonic puppets that destroy a town. That's a weird explanation for it. I'm sure you all go, nah, that's not really what it's about. But I will say this, it's got Phoebe Cates in it. Oh my God, does it ever. That's it. That's all you ever need to say. It's got Phoebe Cates. Yeah, I know. I'm sold. That's it, man. You're like, hey, man, you want to watch Drop Dead Fred? Yeah, totally. Why? It's got Phoebe Cates in it. Oh, okay. Drop Dead Fred sounds pretty good right now. I know it's terrible. I don't care. I really don't care. But no, Gremlins, man, it takes place at Christmas time. There's tons of Christmas themes throughout the entire movie. It is comedy mixed with a little bit of horror. It does have a little bit of gore in there, so it might not be for the youngest of kiddos. But it is a family movie. It's fun. It's a great movie, and it's something I enjoy particularly watching at Christmas time. It's not one of those where if it comes on in March, I'm going to turn it off. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I really want those Christmas vibes at Christmas time. Phoebe Cates, though, she's universal. Anytime. Anytime is fine when it comes to FIBA. But yeah, Gremlins would be my number three pick for best Christmas movie. Now, on to number four. This one, man, all right. Here's another one that someone might say, Dave, this should have been number one. How the hell did you not have this higher, above Gremlins? Come on now. I mean, Jesus, do you hate life? What's the matter with you? You must really hate Christmas. No, it's not true. This is something I saw a lot when I was a kid, and hell, they even colorized it, which ruins everything. So if it has that much staying power, they had to ruin it. It's got to be good, right?
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Oh,
that's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Yeah, attaboy, George Bailey. I almost jumped in there early. But who hasn't seen A Wonderful Life, the Frank Capra film? And, I mean, I don't sound very enthusiastic about it. It's old. It's from, like, the 40s, right, man? So you're like, Jesus, we're going way back for that. But no, it's an all-time Christmas classic, and it deserves some respect. Put some respect on it. It's A Wonderful Life's name. The story of a man who has lived quite the life, who wanted much more than he was given, who decides one day, man, maybe the world would be better off without me. And a little angel named Clarence comes down and shows him, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, George Bailey. Damn. And of course, the best scene is that is when he gets slapped by a pharmacist. Whoa, spoilers. Really, that happens? Yes, it does. Because who hasn't been slapped by their pharmacist once or twice? I know I have. Going down there, hey, man, give me some of that perks. Whack. No, just kidding. Maybe, kind of. I don't know. But anyway, it's A Wonderful Life. Yet again, we talk about quotable films. There's tons in there. There's tons of stuff that you can cite. Beautiful story, right? Heartwarming tale. So it definitely deserves to be on this list. Yet again, argue if you want. Should be higher. Should be lower. You know, I almost feel like maybe I'm questioning myself now. Like, maybe I should have put it above Gremlins. Maybe I just, I don't know. Should I put it above Christmas Vacation? No. 8-Bit Christmas to me? Oh, absolutely not. But it's on there. It's top five. Definitely top five. Jeez, that leaves us to our last one. The last movie I'm going to give you on my list. People love lists. I love lists. I love making these lists. I feel bad that the list is coming to an end. But I gotta say something here. The hot debate for a long time has been, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Right? Because it takes place at Christmas time, at a Christmas party, even though it's not really Christmas-centric. Is that the right way to put it? So, yeah, it's a, you know, hot-button debate, baby. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? People, it's like liking eggnog or not liking eggnog. You're either on one side of the fence or the other with this. Speaking of eggnog, I heard a weird commercial for it where the they cited that the yolks are sugared and spiced that makes their eggnog very delicious, which to me sounds disgusting. But anyway, it's not Die Hard. This isn't Die Hard, but due to that debate, I thought it was only fair I could put this movie on my list because I was kind of struggling. There's a lot of films on the fringe. I was like, I don't know, man, could I put it in a top five for me? And then once I thought, well, if you're the kind of person that considers Die Hard a Christmas movie, by rule, the following film I'm going to mention has to be a Christmas movie. It's going to be on there because I've seen it a billion times and I love it. Do you want me to stop teasing you in the suspense and just play what it is? I suppose I could do that, but I enjoy rambling on so that I won't. Instead, I'll talk more about eggnog. I'm kidding. So I'm going to play a clip. If you can guess what movie it is, kudos to you. And you might get very angry after you hear this clip saying, for real, but trust me, for real.
You might have made them in a test tube, but they don't know that. They're thinking, I gotta eat. I gotta hunt. You can relate to at least one of those things, right?
You might want to change your shirt. They're very sensitive to smell.
Ooh, Jurassic World. Wait, Jurassic World? Aren't they on like an island? Being chased by dinosaurs? Dave, what a terrible pick. Oh, no. But hey, hold up. Hold the phone. The opening scene of that movie is at Christmas time. The two boys that are being sent off to see their Aunt Claire in Jurassic World are leaving their house at Christmas. They're going on their Christmas vacation to Jurassic World. So, ha ha, na-na ee-boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo. It is my firm belief, it is my contention, that Jurassic World is technically a Christmas movie. No. Stop thinking weak sauce. No. It's a Christmas movie. And I'm sticking with it. And it's top five on my list. You know what? If I had more confidence that less people would argue with me about this choice, it'd probably be higher on my list. Because Jurassic World is an awesome movie. It's one of the best in the franchise. One of the best. It's right there after the original. So there. Jurassic World is, in fact, a Christmas movie. And it has made my top five lists at number five of holiday classics. So go suck an egg, nog. Hopefully it's sugared and or spiced. Because apparently that provides flavor. Just in case you didn't know. So just to recap, we had 8-Bit Christmas, Christmas Vacation, Gremlins, It's a Wonderful Life, and Jurassic World. So what are your top five? Weigh in. Send us a message on Gmail or social media. You know, I should have said at Gmail because it is selling out show at Gmail. But still, I would like to hear what you have to say about it. So, yeah. I don't know how much more stuff I have to say about the holidays. I've kind of rearranged the whole wonkyweeds.com studio here. So I am out of sorts a little bit. I got my coffee over here, my vape over there, the TV up here. We're remodeling. 'Tis the season to remodel. Yeah. 'Tis the season for anything. That's the excuse for anything. I just killed somebody. Yeah, 'tis the season. You know, bloodshed. Killing a transient. Yeah, 'tis the season. Couldn't help it. Hate them homeless people. I don't know. But anyway, I do want to apologize, though, for Thanksgiving. We weren't around. Me and Nate were both terribly ill. I can tell you I had a flu that was just kicking me keister all over the place. It's one of those that just don't quit. No, it wasn't COVID, just a super long period of lung mustard that just wouldn't go away. And it was relentless. I think we've all had those before where you just think, oh, yeah, I'll have this flu for a few days. Next thing you know, 2 weeks later, you're like, I still feel really, really bad. Now, at the beginning of it all, I lost my voice, so I couldn't do the radio show even if I wanted to. You could have put a gun to my head because 'tis the season and I wouldn't have been able to do it. But towards the end of it, I was still just like raspy and gross. And I go to work. Yeah. I don't take my sick time when I'm sick. What kind of fool do you think I am? No, you get to take your sick time when you want to have some you time. Maybe consider that a little bit of Christmas advice from me to you. A little Yuletide advice. Never take sick days when you're sick. No, just spread that illness everywhere. Yep. Keep dropping them germs like it ain't no thing. That's the way you got to do it. Because someone else get you sick, right? So you now are obligated to get other people sick. It's a circle of life. Or a circle of snot. Whatever you want to call it. But that's that, baby. I mean, when you want to go to the pool and hang out with your family on a hot July day, call in sick. When you are bleeding profusely out of your eyes and have some weird lump that you can't explain on the inside of your thigh, go to work. That's what you got to do. And when they say, hey, man, you should call into work today. You say, no, David Chicharron told me to stay home. I'll write you a note. Won't harm me none. I got good penmanship, too. Sign my name like a baseball player. Yeah, they're going to believe it. They're going to think it's legit. Some selling out stationery. Maybe we'll sell that soon. There you go. So, I guess that's it for me. I mean, I have really nothing else to add right now. I'm sorry it's a little short because Nate is away. We normally would do, like, Nate's notes, and I keep apologizing for me and Nate. We've been bums lately. We're losers, schmucks, schmoes, whatever you want to call us. Any kind of creative word works. But we miss you. And hopefully we will be back with you soon. I know our plans are to be updating the show a little bit as we are here with the studio. We got some big things in the works. When they will come to pass, I can't say. Got to keep that under wraps right now. Yet another crappy pun. In the meantime, hopefully you were not visited by three ghosts. I kind of wish I was, though. I might need to learn a lesson or two. So who knows? Maybe tonight, three ghosts are coming for me, baby. But in the meantime, I do want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to us. I do appreciate it. It's always nice to know that someone is entertained by the sound of my voice. Or horrified by it. Maybe that's why you listen. I don't know. Either which way, I'll take it. So, I guess, without further ado, this is when I sign off. And I say, I am Dave. Nate's not here. Merry Christmas to everybody. And all a good night and all that good stuff. Don't do anything stupid. Celebrate. Be happy. Be healthy. And have fun. And thank you for listening to The Selling Out Show. Peace. Bye. Adios. See you later. Nice to know you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palms